liberty is under assault and women are rising to the defense. It's time for Ladies Can We Talk on 660 AM The Answer. Common sense talk with women and men about politics and standing up for America. With your host, nationally acclaimed speaker and author, Debbie Georgiatis. Ladies Can We Talk starts now.
Good evening and welcome to Ladies Can We Talk. Thank you so very much for tuning in. I hope you all had a lovely Thanksgiving weekend, Thanksgiving time with your family. And another big celebration is coming up starting tomorrow. And it's not as exciting actually as Thanksgiving with your family or as important, but there is coming up starting tomorrow the United Nations Climate Change Conference, or COP21, CMP11, whatever all the little nicknames they have for it. But the United Nations started climate change conferences several years ago, and coming up starting tomorrow, November 30th and through December 11th, is the 21st yearly session of this Conference of the Parties to the 1992 UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. And tonight, for the next 2 hours, and Ladies Can We Talk, I really want to focus on climate change from many different angles. One of the most important angles is that we the people who in America, we are supposed to be the holders of the power. We the people have the power to choose our government. We the people actually have the ability and not just the ability, but the responsibility to demand that our government does not do things that hurt America, especially when those things can be avoided, and especially based on a false theory, which tonight I'm going to talk about. The man-made global climate change theory is a false theory. It is a hoax. And I'm being as precise and firm as I can on that, because I think if we dance around the edges of the issue, we'll never get to the place where we can stop what the left is going to do based on this climate change theory. So in this opening segment, this Speak Up for America segment, I'm going to talk with you in just a moment about one issue, and that is the line that you will hear so often from the American left saying, 97% of all climate scientists agree. 97% of climate scientists say that disastrous man-made global climate change is real and is going to, and we have to take drastic measures to stop it. We're going to focus on that 97%, but to fill out the rest of the show tonight, we're going to talk with Congressman Lamar Smith. He happens to be a family friend. We've known him for years, but he also chairs the House Science Committee, and his committee is dealing with the fact that both the EPA and the NOAA, or NOAA, two federal agencies, will not comply with subpoenas issued by Congress, issued by the House Science Committee, asking, okay, you say that this global climate change is real, and in the case of NOAA has now come up with altered data. It was the case that there was data showing that there had been no temperature increase. The average world temperatures had not increased in 18 and a half years, completely inconsistent with the climate change models, which said that by now we should be frying. And because the climate change reality conflicts with the climate change models, the NOAA went out and took and just all of a sudden found new information. They went back and changed the data and said, oh, magically, after all, climate temperatures have been rising. And so this is the arrogance of this agency saying, well, we've now rethought it all. Now that we think about it, the temperatures are going up. And you'll hear from Congressman Lamar Smith a little later in the show tonight, just how fraudulent that is, how fraudulent it is what they are doing. We're also going to talk in the second hour tonight with Kathleen Hartnett-White. She is a fount of knowledge. She is with the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Before introducing her in the second hour, I'll share more about her. But she's writing a new book on all of the blessings and virtues brought to the free world by fossil fuels. She's also an actual climate expert who will give us opinions on a wide range of things. And the reason that I'm talking about climate change so much on this show, beside that the climate conference is starting tomorrow, is it is the new home for those on the American left who simply have the age-old desire to control the rest of society. Climate change advocacy is a vehicle for the American left to control society. And most people feel like, well, I don't not sure I really understand it. I probably shouldn't challenge it because I'm not a climatologist myself. And also people think, well, it must be true or else why would all these climate scientists be talking about it? I mean, there has to be something to this or else they wouldn't be saying all these things. So we're going to address all those questions tonight. And also the attempt by the American left to literally criminalize the idea that people can say, I don't accept the Al Gore man-made global climate change theory. I don't accept his theory. I don't. The left is so driven to make you agree that climate change is real. It's a cause for hysterical concern that we all must salute and comply with everything the left wants to do because of climate change. And we're going to talk a little bit about all the areas of American public life, your freedom, your opportunity, your economic opportunity that would be harmed if we just salute and let the climate change alarmists march off in the direction they want to take, not just America, but the world. But I want to go back to the 97% thing that you hear so often. You'll hear defenders of climate alarmism say, well, 97% of scientists agree. In fact, there's a fabulous clip I have posted onto the Ladies Can We Talk Facebook page. And it's a clip of Texas United States Senator Ted Cruz in a Judiciary Committee hearing, and he was hearing testimony from the president of the Sierra Club, a man named Aaron Mayer, M-A-I-R. And the testimony of Mr. Mayer and the Sierra Club was essentially advocating for a man-made global climate change is going to cause a disaster and we have to take all these radical, drastic steps. That was his premise as why he was there to talk. So the link that I put up on the Ladies Can We Talk Facebook page has Ted Cruz asking him, but, says Ted Cruz, you know, the satellite data shows there has been no increase in global climate temperatures in 18 years. How do you respond to that? And you know what? I probably should try to play it or should have tried to play it. But the answer of this guy who's not, you know, some Occupy Wall Street person who wandered into the Senate Judiciary Committee. This is the president of the Sierra Club. Answer at least seven times was, we defer to the consensus of the 97% of scientists who say global climate change is real, meaning we don't have to explain why there's been no increase in climate temperatures in 18 years. We don't have to explain anything about the fact that the reality on the Earth is inconsistent with the models. We just fall back and say 97% of scientists say it's true. And why the left does that in this Speak Up for America segment, I want to point out to you, why the left does that is because they're telling you, the average citizen, stop questioning us. Don't have an opinion. You shouldn't be thinking. You shouldn't be reading. You shouldn't be analyzing. We tell you what's truth, and you just need to salute. And so people who are not climatologists, people who are moms and dads and lawyers and doctors and business owners and your everyday person, and you're busy with your life, and you have your job and your kids and your home and all sorts of personal responsibilities, you don't have time to read in and dig in and understand. So it's easiest if you just give the left whatever they want and give the climate alarmists whatever they want. And so that's why this 97% number is quoted so often. But I just want to tell you, and again, both of these things are going to be on the Facebook page for Ladies Can We Talk. The 97% consensus is a complete falsehood, hoax, lie. There was a 2013 press release that used the expression 97% consensus. It was based on the research by John Cook, who's at the University of Queensland. And that was based on his review of nearly 12,000, to be precise, 11,944 climate-related research papers published over 20 years. So this guy reads published research papers and says that 97% of the scientists agree based on his review of those papers. The real truth is, the actual papers, if you dive into what this guy read and then wrote about, 66% of the papers, or way over half, you know, nearly 8,000 of them, took no position on man-made global warming. So of those papers he said he reviewed, over half of them took no position. So to start with, it's a farce. That's number one. Number two, so the 97% came, well, you think, okay, but the 32% of those papers that did actually address climate change, surely they endorse man-made global climate change, even though it was fewer than half of the papers he read, probably at least the ones that mentioned it agree with global climate change. That's also not true, because what the these studies were asked to do, these people who wrote the papers, they gave them three different levels of endorsement, like three different levels. Do you agree on global climate change? Level one means that you think your paper could be reasonably read to say that you affirm that most of the warming on Earth is said to have occurred by man's activities. Level two and three is not so much. It's some climate change, but I wouldn't point to men as the cause of it. And so this very number that has been floated around is false already, because over half the papers that were the basis of his statement never mentioned climate change. Of those remaining ones, the scientists who wrote papers about climate change, of those remaining ones, 64, only 64 chose this higher category of endorsement, saying, yes, I think man-made global climate change, or they were labeled that way. But then when you actually get to read the papers and see what they said, let me just tell you the bottom line math. Only 41 of all of these nearly 12,000 papers by climate scientists, only 41 said their conclusion was man's activities cause global warming. 41 of the 12,000 papers, or instead of 97% of climate scientists agree that global climate change is man-made, the actual percentage of the papers that this guy based his numbers on, the actual percentage is 0.3. Not 97%, not 70%, not 51%, not 25%, 0.3. And this is one of these things that gets carried on in American political conversation. Just it's very similar to when the leftists keep saying that women earn 77% on the dollar compared to men. We've talked in the show many times. That's a complete falsehood. So is the 97% consensus. It is a complete farce. But again, go back to the reason why that farce is repeated by the left. It's because they're telling you, the American voter, the American thinker, stop thinking, stop reasoning, stop reading. We tell you what's true. The climatologists are with us, but they're not. And you'll hear a little later in our show that Congressman Lamar Smith, I think, makes a great distinction between environmental activists who quote this 97%, like the guy in front of Ted Cruz's Judiciary Committee, the gentleman from Sierra Club, and climate scientists who, as you'll hear later in the show, regularly say, repeat over and over and over, that there is no settled science. The conclusion that man-made global warming is a disastrous heading, or even that man's activity causes global warming, is not even agreed on by the actual climatologists. This is a political movement. This is a movement of growing power for the American left and the more totalitarian type thinkers to say, accept global climate change, salute, and we're going to run this place, and you're not going to think anymore. So we went a little long in this segment, but I wanted to just set the table for the fact every time you hear someone say 97% of scientists agree, you need to jump on it and say, no, actually, that's a false figure. It's a complete fabrication. The actual studies upon which it's based, the real numbers are 0.03% of scientists say man-made global climate change is going to cause a disaster. This is Debbie Georgias and latest Kimmy Talk on 660 AM The Answer. Come on back. This is going to be Climate Change University for this hour, for the next hour and a half, or to talk about, so you can be armed and ready to talk about climate change in real terms. Come back after our break to Ladies Can We Talk.
If you've got questions, we've got answers.
660 AM.
The Answer. The Michael Medved Show.
Is it wrong to blame Obama's failed leadership for the rise of ISIS? Well, the left says it's all because of global warming and income inequality. Really? And the leader of American atheists has a new book, especially for Christmas time. It's all about his war against God.
The Michael Medved Show, afternoons at 5, right after the Sean Hannity Show at 2, 660 AM, The Answer.
The NCPA, National Center for Policy Analysis, America's think tank, is headed up by one of America's true conservative heroes, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. Coming up in Dallas on Friday, December 4th, NCPA will host Leading Diverse Cities, three Texas women mayors leading the way in government, featuring mayors Beth Van Dyne of Irving, Betsy Price of Fort Worth, and Nelda Martinez of Corpus Christi. All three lead diverse cities, and all three are recognized as strong leaders who bring people together to solve Texas-sized challenges every city faces. This noon luncheon will be at the Dallas Addison Marriott Quorum, and Debbie George Addis, 660 AM host of Ladies Can We Talk, will moderate the forum. Go to ncpa.org for more information and tickets. Don't miss this chance to hear how women step up and lead in Texas. Join Debbie George Addis on December 4th for a luncheon and forum featuring ladies talking about leading in Texas. Get your tickets now at ncpa.org.
The most wonderful time of the year.
660 AM, The Answer.
866-660-5759 is the number to call with your question or comment. Back to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hello, welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. Thank you so very much for tuning in. And again, I hope you all had a lovely Thanksgiving week with your families and friends, and look forward to a lovely holiday season in December. Christmas and Hanukkah and all other holidays we celebrate in America. We're focusing this show on climate change, this entire show tonight on Ladies Can We Talk. And the reason is, as I mentioned in the earlier, in our opening segment, is that we are about to have America and many countries around the world are convening in the UN Conference on Climate Change in Paris starting tomorrow. And there is a real concern about what is happening in Paris, because the premise of every country entering this conference, including the United States of America, is to completely accept the gospel truth that climate change is happening and it's man-caused. Man's use of burning of CO2 is creation of CO2 is causing just disastrous changes to the environment, and those environmental changes must be countered by massive wealth redistribution, you know, evisceration of the use of fossil fuels, the growth of expensive and inefficient green energy. And so we're going to explore tonight this reality that climate change is not a scientific endeavor in the hands of the left, in the hands of the Democrat Party in America, the leftists around the world, whose primary goal is always to control other people. Climate change is a weapon to be used to silence anyone who dares speak against it, and to basically give the leftists a tool, a weapon to control people and to control a wealth redistribution from America to other countries, to control fossil fuels, to just simply control us. And so one thing that is extremely frustrating to the left is when the predictions they have made about climate change, starting with, of course, Al Gore's book years ago about Inconvenient Truth, and then moving forward, the great movement that has grown around this climate change thing, what drives a lot of these climatologists, they're not climatologists, the climate environmentalists, just crazy, is when reality doesn't comport with their theories. One way that's happening, as you may recall, if you read my book, Ladies Can We Talk, which is a great book, it has a long, serious, substantive chapter about the environment, or if you read Al Gore's book, you'll see one of the major predictions made is that the glaciers are going to melt. You know, the world has glaciers, is just massive, miles deep frozen ice at the top and the bottom of the globe, and that these glaciers are going to melt due to rising temperatures. So, inconveniently for the environmental extremists, there was a study that just came out, and I'm talking about like November this year, November 2nd of 2015, a study that came out that talked about the massive net gain of tons of ice in the glaciers, inconsistent with the theory that the radical climate alarmists have been saying that the glaciers are going to melt. The glaciers are actually growing. I believe we put a link to this story on the Ladies Can We Talk Facebook page, but if we didn't, we will. There was one excerpt. This was reported in many places. One place, the American Thinker had a great article about it, which essentially was making the point, NASA, who's also involved in the whole left-wing effort to push global climate change alarmism. NASA finds Antarctic ice cap is growing, and the growth is a net gain of 112 billion tons of ice each year from 1992 to 2001. Just stop and think about that. That's an incomprehensible number, billions incomprehensible number. 112 billion tons of ice every year growing in the Antarctic from 1992 to 2001 in this era when we've had climate hysteria. That's one fact. And there are literally, folks, if you do some reading, and I point these out in my book, all sorts of things that are reality checks on this climate change theory, one being all the penguins are going to be dying off, and we're not going to have the polar bears will be dying off. In both cases, the populations of those animals actually are not dying off. It is just a complete farce. And I say this because in any other endeavor of science, and even just in your own life, if you were told, buy this product and your headache will go away, and you kept taking this pill or whatever it was, and your headache never went away, and you would be a good one-person research person, you say, you know what? This actually doesn't work. Same with a cleaning product. If someone told you, buy this cleaning product and it will work, and you discovered it never worked, you wouldn't matter what the experts say. You know it's not working because you have that experience. Well, these kinds of actual real life refutations of the climate change theory are hidden by the media, barely reported. You have to dig to find them because mainstream media and the American left, who locked arms decades ago, do not want you thinking for yourselves, do not want you absorbing these facts and trying to fit those facts into what their climate change agenda is, which, and that climate change agenda is about to be played out in the next climate change conference in Paris. A related point, and I'm going to try to be a little shorter in this segment because I went long in the first one, but there's an expression called the pause, P-A-U-S-E, pause. And that's the basic idea that when climate change became the trendy thing for universities to embrace and climate, and we had environmental extremists saying the earth is going to burn up tomorrow, climate models were created that said essentially based on the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere, which, may I remind you, CO2 is a natural substance existed before man did and, in fact, is required for life on the planet. We can't live without CO2. So it's a vital element in the planet. But this rise in CO2 due to man's burning of fossil fuels is going to cause this massive climate change. So these scientists made these predictions about the massive increases that, in temperature that would occur based on CO2, and they had temperature measures around the world so that they could have their climate modeling saying what they predicted, and they compare their predictions with the reality of the actual rise in temperatures. And as it has turned out, contrary to the alarmist agenda, in the last 18 and a half years, there has been no increase in average world temperatures. So people refer to that, even on the left, because they don't want to concede that perhaps this climate change alarmism theory is wrong. They want to say, well, it's just a pause. We can't explain why it's paused. It's just a minor pause. We're still going to have climate change. It's going to be crazy. So this is a really important thing to recognize, that the data are not comporting with the theory, and the answer of the left is never to reinvestigate. It is to say, well, you know, it's one of those mysteries of science. We don't really know, but hang in there. Climate change is real. And that is, as I mentioned earlier, I want to urge you to go to the Facebook page for Ladies Can We Talk, play the testimony. We have a link to it that United States Senator and presidential candidate Ted Cruz did in his hearing with the president of the Sierra Club, kept asking him about, well, how do you account for the fact that data isn't complying with the theories. And the answer of the gentleman who was the president of Sierra Club was just to go back to, we agree with 97% of the scientists. We just agree with them. There is no answer being offered by the left. And these are important things to know, because in every other avenue of life, especially when your tax dollars are being used for this research, we would demand accountability, accuracy, answers, explanations, consistency. We would demand it. But somehow, when we're in this arena of climate change, no answers needed, or at least that the left, that's the left would like to have you believe, no answers needed. We know we're going to go off to our break here. After the break, we're going to be speaking with Congressman Lamar Smith on the subject of his committee's hearing. He is the chair of the Science Committee in the United States House of Representatives in Congress. And he had both the NOAA, or NOAA, and EPA coming before his committee talking about climate change. And both are resisting his efforts to ask for facts and data in response to what his investigation. So these are things people who are really pursuing truth don't, they wouldn't engage in this behavior that EPA is engaging in. I'm telling you, folks, it is an agenda of the left. It's not science. This is Debbie Georgiadis and Ladies Kimmy Talk on 660 AM The Answer. Come back after our break and we'll talk with Congressman Lamar Smith.
Can you hear us now? 660 AM The Answer. 660amtheanswer.com. John David Wells.
I saw something I've never seen before today. A UPS guy in a golf cart and a little wagon filled with parcels. Black Friday. Cyber Monday. Are we getting to the point where we spend more time shopping online than we do on a sidewalk? Is the fabled trip to Macy's department store rapidly becoming a thing of the past?
John David Wells, weeknights at 8, followed by Hugh Hewitt on 660 AM. The Answer.
My fellow Americans, liberty.
Liberty.
This is your Liberty Minute.
Liberty Minute.
With Debbie Georgiadis.
American liberty includes freedom of religion and freedom of speech. But these building blocks of America are in sharp conflict with Sharia, the Islamic law, which makes church and state one and the same, and then imposes Islamic doctrine as the only law, a law which denies freedom of religion and freedom of speech. Americans are right to want to preserve American-style liberty for all Americans, and that's the idea behind ALAC, American Law for American Courts. ALAC is especially important in protecting women who otherwise could be subject to Sharia, which treats women as second-class citizens in matters such as divorce, division of property, and child custody. ALAC is a right idea for America and for Texas. Why would anyone want to deny American women American liberty? This is Debbie Georgiadis, and this was your Liberty Minute on Sharia.
Hey, 3 hours a day is all I ask. Join me, Sean Hannity, from 2 to 5 each weekday, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
More of Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
And welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. Thank you so very much for tuning in this evening. We're focusing tonight on climate change. And the reason we're focusing on that is starting tomorrow, there's going to be a conference, the UN Conference on Climate Change, or I've been calling it the Communist Conference on Climate Change. But anyway, we're going to, in this segment, talk with a friend of the show and a friend of ours for a long time, United States Congressman Lamar Smith. Hello, sir.
Debbie, always good to be with you and your listeners as well.
Thanks so very much. Love having you. And the reason I'm so glad you're available to be on this show is because we've been talking about climate change. The whole show is really kind of dedicated to trying to share facts versus myths or theories. And in your particular case, you chair in the United States Congress, you're a congressman from Texas, but you chair the Science, Space, and Technology Committee. And you've recently had a bit of a run-in in not getting responses to subpoenas that your committee has issued to the NOAA. So let me back up and say, what was the reason there were hearings to start with before your committee for the NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration? Why were they there in Congress talking to you?
Well, we are wanting to get information both from NOAA, called NOAA, and the Environmental Protection Agency, which we also have jurisdiction over, because they are simply not being honest with the American people. And lots of times they're rejiggering data to get the results they want. That is not good science. That is maybe politically correct science, or maybe it's science fiction, but it's not good science. And most recently with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, they suddenly came out a few weeks ago and said, oh, guess what? The climate warming hiatus of 18 years, almost two decades now, when global temperatures have not gone up according to almost every study, they've now said, oh, that was wrong. The global temperature actually has been increasing. So we said, okay, we want to see the data, and we want to see the official communications between various individuals at NOAA, because we're really suspicious about the timing right before this climate change conference in Paris, and we're suspicious because the no global warming over the last almost 20 years has been acutely embarrassing to an administration who said global warming was going to become worse and we had to take all these drastic measures. And Debbie, guess what we found out already? And that is that they were able to come up with their result of an increase in global warming over the last 18 years by leaving out the most reliable data of all. They rejiggered their results, they skewed the data, and they left out the data collected by satellites, which is the gold standard. The temperature collected by satellites is considered the gold standard because they're not susceptible to all the variations that land-based thermometers are. And, you know, suddenly you have a parking lot close by and the asphalt holds heat or for whatever other reason, but satellites have been the gold standard. And it's the satellites that have showed no global warming over the last 18 years. Well, of course, if you leave out the data from satellites, you are possibly going to get an increase in global warming, and that's exactly what they did. And now they're refusing my subpoena to comply with my subpoena because I said not only do I want the data, I want those public communications which aren't protected, and you need to disclose them, and they are refusing to do so, which even doubles my suspicions about this political agenda by this administration.
You know, you said so many things there, it's really hard to decide which direction to go. But I do want to say, for our listeners, and I know, Congressman Smith, you've dealt with this issue for decades, but the global climate alarmists, the people who say that man-made global climate change is disastrous, is impending doom, and we have to do all sorts of extreme measures in adjusting toward green energy and ending fossil fuels, all of that stemmed from the original belief that climate change was happening and the models created by computers that said, well, based on what we know now, look at this disaster that's going to immediately befall us over the next few years. And what happened with the climate change people, the climate change alarmists, the advocates for climate change, was that the real life data, the data collection, didn't conform to all their models. And it has driven them crazy. It's kind of like they did this science experiment and the answer didn't come out the way they said. But you know what I think is just so interesting is, in a real scientific endeavor, you would say, wow, look at these temperature changes. They don't comport with our models. And so you might adjust your model or your thinking or your theory. But I never hear that coming out of the climate change advocates.
You know, Debbie, you just touched upon the most interesting thing I've heard recently. It was told to me by a bona fide climate scientist who happens to be a liberal Democrat who believes strongly in climate change. And the most trenchant thing I've heard, he said, Lamar, don't forget, there's a difference between environmentalists and climate scientists. He said the environmentalists are the activists. They have an agenda to promote, and they're biased. And he said the climate scientists know that there is no certainty. We can't predict what the weather is going to be in 2 weeks, much less in 95 years at the end of the century. And he said climate scientists, real scientists, believe in the scientific method. We welcome challenges to our theory, as you just said. Whatever our hypothesis or thesis is, we want it to be challenged. We're constantly refining our work. And he said, no real scientist will say something is settled or the facts are clear because we know we are uncertain in our findings. And so that's an important distinction to make. You have this administration jiggering the data till they get the result they want. That's the opposite of the scientific method.
I'm sorry, it's the opposite of science, you say?
Yes, it is opposite of science or the scientific method, correct.
Yeah, and you know, it's so interesting. I actually had the pleasure this morning of speaking with Lord Christopher Monckton, who is a British citizen, and he is among the more outspoken advocates for exposing what he calls climate change alarmism. And he was talking about how around the world, you can see that this movement about climate change, his characterization was much more political, much less scientific. It is with an agenda toward control over in the energy sector, control over society. Do you see that? Do you agree?
Yes, but this is the mindset of this administration, is that the more government, the better. The more government control, the better. Their mindset is we know better than the American people what's good for them. And if they can convince everybody about this global warming is as dangerous and as they say it is, climatic, I mean, it is alarmist, every other word you want to use. If they can convince people to be fearful, then they can step in and tell them what to do and how to run their lives. And that's what we need to be careful about, because that's, I think, ultimately their agenda. It just defies common sense to think that human action is more important than natural cycles, more important than the axis of the Earth or the rotation of the Earth. There are bigger forces determining climate change than human-emitted carbon dioxide. The best example I've seen is that if you took the entire atmosphere, all the gases in the atmosphere were represented by a football field, 100 yards long, the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere would be the width of a dime standing on edge at the end of the football field. And that's total carbon dioxide. Human-caused carbon dioxide is just a tiny fraction of that. And somehow that's supposed to determine our entire global temperature.
That is, I love those picture stories. That is so good. So I want to be sure I got that. I was trying to even take notes while you were writing. If you were to picture a football field, and everyone can picture that, whether you go in person or watch on television, it's 100 yards. So you're saying that the amount of CO2 as compared with the other gases in the atmosphere is the width of one dime?
Width of one dime, a dime standing on edge at the end of the 100-yard field. That's right. And that's total carbon dioxide. Then human emitted carbon dioxide is just a fraction of that width of a dime.
And that is what's going to cause the oceans to rise and the glaciers to
exactly.
melt, and we'll all starve
exactly.
to death.
Exactly. That's what they would want us to believe.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Congressman Smith, I love that your committee is working both with the EPA and the, and I actually didn't know if you're supposed to call it NOAA, but I guess that is how you, is that right?
Okay. That's right, NOAA. But you're right about EPA has been our primary target, but it's the common thread here. The administration will not make data public. They are not being transparent. They are not being honest with the American people. In the case of the EPA, we said we want to see the data that underlies all these regulations that you're imposing on the American people that cost so much, and that sometimes don't even have any significant impact on global change whatsoever. But they cost us jobs, they cost us money. And guess what? The EPA will not disclose the data that was paid for by the American people, which again makes me very suspicious that the data does not demonstrate what they claim.
Again, if it were a scientific experiment on a cure for some disease or whether,
right.
you know, everyone would want to know the truth, and they would want to expose it and then, you know, contrast it with other theories, other ideas. So this, the science part of it is kind of lost in this global climate change advocacy on the left. So what is the recourse that your House Science Committee has if NOAA does not want to produce the documents you've subpoenaed?
Right. Well, we're doing three things. One, we're having oversight hearings, and that is really helpful when you bring all this out to the American people, because they're on our side. Second of all, we are issuing subpoenas to try to get the accurate information. And thirdly, we're introducing bills. I introduced a bill that said no regulation can go into effect unless the underlying data has been made public. That has passed the House, has passed the Committee of Jurisdiction in the Senate, now ready for the Senate floor. The President, of course, immediately said he would veto it. I do not think he will veto a piece of legislation that's on his desk that says the American people have a right to know what the basis of these regulations are. And my guess is if my bill is enacted, it will probably stop about 90% of these unnecessarily burdensome and unnecessary regulations. Look at the power plant regulation. Gina McCarthy, the head of the administrator, when I asked her when she came before my committee, I said, under using your own data, this is going to have a negligible impact on climate change for the foreseeable future. Under your own data, it would only stop the rise in oceans by 1/100 of an inch, about the thickness of 3 pieces of paper. And she didn't dispute that. She just said, well, it's just important we show some action. Well, if that's the best they can do, if that's the best rationale they have, is just to show some action that's not even by their own admission going to have any impact, that's a waste of effort, time, and money.
It sure is. We're speaking this evening with Congressman Lamar Smith, United States Congressman from the great state of Texas and chair of the Science Committee in the House. And also his committee has been dealing with two federal agencies that seem actually to think that they are tasked with the idea of forcing America to accept climate change as a reality versus studying what's real and then making regulation based on reality.
Exactly. Exactly. Good summary.
Congressman, what is the name of the bill you just described that passed the House, that passed the Senate Committee of Jurisdiction, essentially requires the data has to be shared before?
Well, we call it colloquially sort of no secret science bill. Gosh, I think it's in our HR 1030, but anybody, we can get it back maybe on the air a little bit later on, but I think it's HR 1030, and it's the No Secret Science Bill.
That is a great title and a great concept. Congressman Smith, thank you so very much for calling in tonight.
Thank you, Debbie. Talk to you soon.
Great talking with you. This is Debbie Georgiadis, and Ladies Can We Talk? We're going to go off to our break and come back and keep on talking about one of the most important subjects facing America, which is, do we just capitulate to what the media and the left are saying is true about climate change, or are we smart enough to come to conclusions ourselves and not be ruled by non-science? And the answer is yes, we are smart enough. Debbie Georgiadis, Ladies Can We Talk, 660 AM, The Answer.
The Answer. 660 AM, TheAnswer.com. Dennis Prager can always add clarity to a situation.
I have to believe that the relatives of the 129 French men, women, and children who were slaughtered last Friday, if you were to ask them what they think of the idea that by far the greater threat to people is carbon emissions, what they would say.
It's just a theoretical exercise that I invite you to engage in.
So at least you have clarity.
The Dennis Prager Show, weekdays at noon, right before Sean Hannity at 2 on 660 AM, The Answer.
The October 2015 shooting in Oregon was tragic. Reactions by many on the American left were predictably repetitive and unhelpful. More gun control. In Chicago, home of Democrat rule for decades and home of very strict gun control laws, someone gets shot every 2.8 hours. And in Baltimore, also with tough gun laws, just in September of 2015, homicides were up 39% and non-fatal shootings nearly doubled compared with just 1 year earlier. Taking guns away from law-abiding Americans punishes the innocent without addressing the real issues. The real issues are things like this: a government that creates anger by consistently telling various groups of hyphenated Americans that they are victims, that hatred in America abounds, families broken and divided. The Oregon shooter's dad had not seen his son in 2 years. Mental health issues. The shooter's social media was filled with idiocy and rage suggesting mental health issues. America needs to work to prevent violence, but we need to focus on solutions that address the real causes.
660 AM, The Answer.
We return to Ladies Can We Talk with host Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hey there again. Thanks for tuning in, Ladies Can We Talk? This is the end of our first hour. I just have a short segment here. I want to tease a little bit of what we're going to talk about in the second hour. I say in my advertisements for this show quite often, my promos, I say, I always want to talk about issues facing America and why they matter to you. In the second hour, we'll talk a little bit with Kathleen Hartnett White, a prominent, prominent scientist in America, testified before Congress and in the Texas legislature. She's a just brilliant and very, very accomplished and informed scientists who can talk about actual facts relating to global climate change, not just from the scientific perspective of fossil fuels versus alternative energy, but really what it means in your day-to-day life. It's important to know that we talk about this on purpose on the show to say these aren't just abstract issues. I think sometimes in climate change, people think it's kind of like a science fair debate. And maybe one side and the science fair says, yes, man-made global climate change is going to kill us all and the glaciers are going to melt. And then the other side is saying, no, that's not true. But we don't necessarily see it as how it will change your life, your children's life, your freedom, your opportunities, your abundance. Climate change, the climate change agenda pushed by the American left will drastically change your life. You don't want to go there. We don't want to go there. And all those people thinking that they have found a cause to stand for and have a deeper problem, we're also going to touch on, because it has become in many people's hearts and minds the religion, the meaning of their life. In fact, there was a former IPCC official who said that. I admit it. Climate change is my religion. So anyway, we're going to talk about those things in a second hour. I just want to end in a couple quick thoughts about climate change. We are talking about it today because tomorrow is the first day. For the next 11 days after that, there will be a conference in Paris, the United Nations Climate Change Conference. And it matters a lot what happens over there. You may recall that President Obama went and made a negotiated deal with Iran, made the Iranian deal where we agreed to give them, essentially, we agreed to give them access to nuclear weapons, and we agreed to give them $150 billion of returned frozen assets. And this was a treaty by any rational person's read of it. But because President Obama knew the Congress would not, the Senate would not, under the terms of our Constitution, he couldn't get 2/3 of senators to agree to this horrific deal he negotiated. He simply said, it's not a treaty. It's a deal. Well, I'm going to tell you, sitting here right now, what President Obama will do on the UN conference in Paris. He'll do a very similar thing. He knows the radical controls the environmental activists want on CO2 emissions, on climate change, will never pass muster with this in the Senate. He will not get 2/3 of the senators to pass any treaty. So he will commit America or attempt to commit America in Paris to a horrific surrendering of our liberty and freedom and economic prosperity under the guise of climate change control. And he will say, it's not a treaty. It's a deal. It's a compact. It's something else. And it is our job to push that with our members of the United States Senate and frankly the whole Congress to say he needs to acknowledge it's a treaty and he needs to follow the Constitution and have the Senate up or down vote. Can he get 2/3 or not? Now, I'll say President Obama is in the last less than 2 years left. He's almost a little over a year in his presidency. Given whatever he commits to the United Nations on this climate deal, this is not a legally binding document on America. So part of, I think, in this presidential campaign cycle, as we look forward to the GOP and the Democrat candidates and we move forward to elections next year, is I would like a commitment from the candidates. Are you going to enforce this deal that President Obama made in United Nations climate conference in Paris that he knows Congress wouldn't, the Senate wouldn't pass? As a matter of fact, back in Clinton's days, President Clinton's days, he entered or he tried to commit America and tried to talk about the Kyoto Treaty, which was a previous climate treaty. And he at least knew that he could never get, even at his time when he was president, could not get the Senate to embrace the Kyoto Protocol, which was another climate change, economy crushing, freedom crushing, liberty crushing deal. It's really important, as in America, we the people are the stewards of our country. We are the guardians of our republic. We are the guardians of liberty. It's important for you to understand this climate change issue has nothing to do with science and everything to do with increasing government control over life, increasing government control over wealth redistribution. This is not about climate. It's about a political agenda. And we'll talk more and more about that on this show, not just this show, but future shows. But I'm doing a show dedicated entirely to the environment because I'm hoping that as you're listening to this, you will think about these ideas when you watch what emerges out of the Paris Climate Conference. It's never about pursuing truth. It's never about trying to figure out why doesn't the data that is coming out of our climate actual measures of temperatures comport with the predictions. No one in the environmental alarmist, climate change alarmist community ever has to answer that. They're not supposed to have to answer that. And these things matter. I also want to mention, too, that we talked in the first segment of the show tonight about this statistic you'll hear over and over that 97% of climatologists or 97% of scientists agree that man-made disastrous global climate change is occurring. This is a complete lie. It's important to know it's a lie. It's important to know the real number based on the actual studies that this figure came out of. The actual numbers of it was nearly 12,000 scientists had written papers talking about climate change. The actual percentage of those scientists who said man-made global climate change is real, it's happening right now, is 0.3%. It's vital to know these things. It's vital to understand that this is a political agenda. This is a power grab by the leftists of the world. This is a redistributionist grab. It's not science. It's political. This is Debbie Georgiadis and Ladies Can We Talk. Come back after the break and join us for a great second hour. Democrat presidential candidate Bernie Sanders announced recently that health care is a right, something government must provide. This is wrong. Health care is a necessity, a responsibility, but not a right. Rights are things like the freedom of speech, religion, and assembly. Nothing that costs money can be a right, or else Americans would have the right to enslave each other. That may sound harsh, but it's true. Let's start with the basics. Governments have no money. The money they spend comes from taxes they forcibly collect from you and your neighbors. But healthcare costs money, educating and paying professionals, producing medicines, etc. If you have the right to make the government pay for your healthcare, you have the right to force your fellow citizens to work and pay taxes to buy your healthcare. Knowing the difference between real rights and things that are not rights is vital, or else we get duped into enslaving each other. This is Debbie Georgiadis. Please keep tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk every Sunday at 6 p.m. on 660 AM The Answer. We talk truth about America.